I am thankful to be saved. Realizing that I've only got one life to live, I choose to live it in the way of the Lord. You know, that means a lot to me, to think that I'm only going to live one life, and I'm saying with that one life, Lord, your way is best. I believe tonight the best way to live this life is for the Lord. And that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I want to encourage everyone else to take their one life and live it for the Lord too. Because I want to see the product of the Lord spread. I want to see people enjoy the plan that God made for them. So I'm very, very happy to be saved tonight. And I want you to be saved too. Been thinking some of noticing the way the world works. They sell their products. They sell their wares, the things that they make. They sell them. One of their ways of selling them is to get someone that's well known and famous to endorse them. I never could figure out what difference it made if some pop or rock music star drunk Pepsi, how it made it taste any better, give it more importance. But more people will buy it if that fellow that's important does it. Well, there's some. I don't understand all the human nature about it, and sometimes I think that I'm different than everybody else because I don't care whether he drinks it or not. If I don't drink it, I don't drink it. You can't get me to do it. I don't know what they know about clothes to make the clothes better. I don't go buying clothes just because somebody wears clothes. It don't seem to matter to me. Just because a famous football quarterback wears Levi's really don't make no difference much, or Wranglers or whatever it is. I wonder what he knows about it anyway. But they sell their products that way because people seem to listen to that and they're affected by that. Well, I ain't anybody tonight, but I want to endorse something tonight. I want to endorse a way of life. I want to endorse salvation tonight. I want to endorse it because it works. I know there's people that doubt the working of it. They say, there's nothing to that. That's people just wanting to get them a crutch, or that's people trying to make something better, or it's an imagination or what of that. I don't find it that way. I find it something that works in my life. I find something that made a great difference in my life. And I want to endorse that strongly tonight, that salvation works. And I believe if you get salvation tonight and you keep salvation with you, I believe if you get Jesus and you keep Jesus with you, I believe if you embrace the Word of God and keep the Word of God with you, it's going to work for you. Now, I'm not too big to confess my faults. Just recently, I was having battle. You have any? I've got some weaknesses that I recognize in my life. One of my weaknesses in my life is, that the Lord helps me with, is I get frustrated. I've never been hot-headed to throw the hammer or to do all those things, really. I just get frustrated with things in life, and I have thoughts that comes to my mind, and I get working up like that. And I've noticed it all my life, and the Lord's helped me with it. You know, recently, I got to the point, I went to my wife and said, and I'm not talking recently in years, I'm talking about recently in weeks. I went to my wife and said, "Hey, you've got to pray with me. We've got to pray. This is just getting me. I feel these frustrations and these thoughts that come out with it and all this." I said, "You got to pray with me." And you know, we went and prayed. I told her all about this way I'm feeling. The children's annoying me. I'm getting frustrated with them. I'm getting sad. All this that they already knew. But I was saying, you know, I went and just started repenting. "Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to be this way, and I need your help." You know what? He helped me so much. I'm still marveling over this little touch that the Lord gave me over this problems that I had. And salvation not only was
part, while, but I had it available. I've got an avenue. I got a way to affect my life. If you got things in your life, I want to endorse a product tonight. A product, a production from heaven. A product for the humankind. A way. You know, of all the products, you can about go down the line of the natural products. Tide soap, the detergents and all that. What are they for? Clean. Lord will clean you. You want to be clothed? The Lord will clothe you. You want things that work? The Lord will make it work. You want something that thrills you? The Lord can thrill you. You know, we're always I want an exciting, no weakness. I want something going on. I just do. I want things. I want life happening. I want life and see things. I want something to look forward to. I want something that I can do tomorrow. I want to know I can enjoy. I like life. You know, the Lord fulfills that with me. The Lord gives me. The Lord can do that. I want to recommend to you tonight, life. I want to endorse a product. Get salvation and keep it close to hand. Enjoy yourself in it. Reach for it. Reach for it daily. Find you say, well, I'm having a problem with this. I want to endorse. There's a product tonight that you can go to that will help that problem. The Lord has grace. I come away with such figure to tell my wife, I feel it's not bothering me. Dropping something isn't bothering me now. Getting a phone call about people, it doesn't bother me. The Lord's helping my frustrations by His grace. I love the product. I love the product. It's been so good to me. We was on our way out here and I was driving and I was meditating. And I began to realize something. I was meditating and thinking about some of the people that I grew up with and I went to school with and my peers around about me. And listen, I was never the one that was voted most likely to succeed. It wasn't me. You would have looked at me and said, well, he's going to make something. It wasn't me that was ever chosen to do that. But as I looked around of those that had the ability to be something, they never become anything. I mean, even from the world standards, they really didn't become anything. Three of the boys that I grew up with in my community has been dead for a long time. And I looked at I looked at the people around me. I looked at what they got into. Some of them's in jail. You know, a number of people that I grew up with died suddenly of heart attacks. You know, a number of them took their own lives. And I was driving along meditating all of this and the Lord gave me something and said, you're a success. You know, I'm a success tonight. I'm a success. I looked and said, yes, Lord, I feel it. I feel like I'm a success tonight. I have respect. I have a great family of the church, my family of God. I don't have wealth. They'll never name a building after me or a street or there may never be a sign maybe with my name on it or none of those great things, but I'm a success tonight. And I don't take credit for being smart or doing anything to make it that way. I'm a success tonight because of a product. I'm a success because Jesus done something in my life. I have a wife that I love dearly. I love her. I mean, I just can't tell you how much. And she loves me, and that's a success. I'm growing more and more in understanding how much I want and desire to make that everything God wants me it to be because that's successful. It's a successful story. I have wonderful children. I have home. The Lord provides for me. I have a doctor in the Lord. I have a helper in the Lord. I get grace from the Lord. Folks, I got it all. I've got it all. I don't know something. I know someone that knows it all. And you know, sometimes He works out the things I don't know and He don't even let me know what it is that I don't know. I don't know it and He don't want me to know it, but He works out the difficult anyway. I have a friend that sticks with me closer than a brother. But this friend isn't like normal friend. This is a friend that runs the universe. He can change anything for my benefit. Oh, I feel such... I thank the Lord because I feel like I'm successful. The one that was most likely not to succeed. And I succeeded. My eighth grade teacher told my mom, said, Carol, I'm going to pass him to high school, but he'll never make it. They're not going to succeed. He's not smart enough. He's lazy. He's not diligent. He doesn't do his work. He's got problems. They had me in special ed places. I was trying to do this. All this. He's not going to succeed. He's not going to make it. And yet, like I made it. Feel like I succeeded because you know what? I was going the wrong way fast. And the Lord come along. And he brought a product that he made it on the cross. He brought a product. He said, I got something for you, young man. If you'll come this way, I got something that'll work for you. You know, the Lord dealt with my heart. And all I wanted was to be saved. I didn't want to be smart. I definitely didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And I thank God for it. I don't know how to endorse it any better than tell you how much it means to me. I got one life and I'm going to give it wholeheartedly to God for it. Because I think this is the richest, best way to live life. And I want to endorse the Lord tonight. I'd like to look at a scripture over in Jeremiah, 2nd chapter. Just get one verse here, 19th verse. It says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and that backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. It seems to me that that passage of Scripture is so true. It's almost as if the Lord's saying, I don't really have to divinely interfere in this. All I got to do is let you run your course. I don't have to cause wrath. I don't have to cause... It's mercy when God works. I don't have to do anything to your wickedness. Because your wickedness will go your own... It'll run its own course. It'll run its own path. It'll have its own fruit, its own work. You will pay the penalty for your own life. You will pay for what you do in life. I was going along thinking about those that I grew up with. The ones that's smoked their life. Man, it doesn't always happen that way. But the Lord warned, your own wickedness will reprove you. You take somebody that does that and see what happens. My dad brought out an interesting point to me a while ago. He told me, do you ever look into our family and look at the age that they're dying? No, not really. He said, and he started naming them off. And the ones that didn't drink, smoke, and run around lived to well up towards 90. And the ones that smoked and drank and done all that, they didn't. And it was amazing. I started saying, that's so true. They've got 10 to 15 years knocked off of their life by the conduct of their life. And it not only was just that many years, but it was the quality of life that they lived through the years that they lived. And the scripture says, wickedness will reprove yourself. You know, our world is being reproved by its wickedness. We look and say, what's going on around us? What's going on around us? You know, one thing that fascinates me, because I'm so interested in the truth. The truth that's in God. The truth that's in myself. The truth as it affects our culture. The truth as it affects our societies. The truth. I want to know what's true about it. You know, I find very few people that care about what the truth is. It doesn't seem to matter. You can come up with any idea that's a falsehood, and people will run with it. And even when it's disproved, they'll say it don't matter. It don't matter. There has to be something in it somewhere or another. So what are we doing? We're doing the way we're running our lives, the way we're working. I want to endorse the Lord to you tonight. And ask and say, stay away from the wickedness of this world, because there is going to be reproof to that. You will suffer the penalties of wickedness in our society. We're going to suffer. Folks, listen to me. Our society is only planting the seeds now of what the future is going to hold. We haven't seen the full effect of what we're doing as a people. We're saying it seems fairly harmless for us to throw away the institution of marriage as traditionally taught and understood. But we haven't reaped that yet. It's coming. The mindset, the change of heart, what it means is yet to come. And it will not be solid. It will not be good. It will have so much effect to it. The little seeds of generations gone by, we're reaping that now. And we're planning for the next one. And the Lord is warning that your own wickedness. It's as if God's saying, I don't have to divinely touch this. It is set in the order of my universe. It is set in the order of my creation, my plan, that if you you sow, you'll reap of that sowing. And if you live in wickedness in this world, you will also reap of it. I'm recommending you a product tonight. A way not to reap. A way of changing that. Oh, there is things that you may affect your body that the Lord will never change. But you can change the course of your life through this that the Lord wanted to do for us. I thank God for salvation tonight, because I know a time and I can look and see. And God reminds me from times and season times. I sowed some things that I still reap. But I've missed a lot of sowing for the devil. Over these last years of being saved, I haven't sown for it. And I've missed the reaping of all of those years. And now I can reap of the fruit of living for the Lord. I can reap. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm saying I can reap of my pursuit of the Lord. I can reap of having a family that's still knit together. I can still reap of the respect and honor, not as to a man, but as to God. In God's authority. We are sowing in our nation today, folks, and want us to stay away from that, because if we sow, we're going to reap. And this wickedness will be its own reproof. Now follow that, because if you see what's going on in the world, it looks harmless to our, we've been desensitized somewhat down to it, that it doesn't seem like that we're reaping. We can get ourselves into it by increment, and all of a sudden that bad music that was bad is not so bad. But you haven't reaped yet. Or that little bit of warning that the Lord just gave, don't watch what you're watching. Be careful about what you're putting into you. Changing your mind, changing your heart. You're not as diligent. You don't have the same ferocity toward the Lord. Those kind of things. You haven't reaped yet. You haven't reaped yet. The reaping's coming. It's only sown. It's only growing some now. It looks harmless. It doesn't look like there's anything to it. But it can't help from happening. It will be its own reproof. It will come as a flood on you someday. And there is something that's so much better than that. Thank the Lord you can be a success tonight. And Moses looked at it. And he said, we heard it last night,
He looked at it. And he rejected it. The pleasures of sin for a season. He rejected the sin that, yeah, it will feel good for a while. It would do, I would have some pleasure. It would be, so, but it's for a season. Then what happens after the season's over? Then you start reaping. You start reaping the benefits of that. I've seen it so much in my own life. My own family. The people that was around me. I had a grandpa that it was just a strange thing. He had this big family. He was 12 children altogether. My mother's one of 12. And I look at that and see the potential of blessing. 12 children, big family, 12 children around you with all the grandchildren's respect and honor and love of that many people. That's not the way it worked. Become embittered. They become, my grandmother and grandfather fought. All my life I remember them with not a kind word was ever passed between them in my lifetime. They sat, one was sat in the living room, the other was in the kitchen. And they couldn't even let conversations go by without one of them hollering obscenities towards the other one. They reaped. They reaped years. They reaped moments. They reaped seeds that were sown. They reaped a little unkindness before. But it cometh a flood eventually. My big old uncles would go in sometimes and just slap at my grandpa. He couldn't do nothing then. He's an old man. Wasn't much of a dad back when he was a dad. That's the way of seeing him. And they never called him an affectionate term. It never was daddy. It never was anything. It was an obscenity. The kindest thing they called him was the old man. With that kind of tone. Seen him many times just come in and slap. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave. And they'd hug their mother and come in. Go on, old man. We'll slap you around a little bit. Slap him, get him stirred up and laugh as he went out the door. You know what happened to all these men's marriages? You know what happened to their family? Now, you would think they would say, I'll never go down that road. You think that? Reaping comes, folks, of the notions, of the minute things and the things we take into our life. They come. And my grandpa woke my uncle up one morning, and hollered at him. His name was John. He hollered, John. And John sat up on the bed and looked over, and my grandpa had a 12-gauge shotgun stuck under his chin, and he pulled the trigger. Why you would want your son to see something like that? It's beyond me why you'd want to do it. But that ended. That ended that way. Well, I can look at it and say, give me the product, Lord. Give me some. You'd say, well, man, ever get to that kind of a place? Yes, a man can get in that kind of a place. A man can get till he despises the woman he once loved. He can despise his own children, and children can despise their own parents, and you can get into that kind of place. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the natural places that the world is teaching and going is taking us into a lot of different that we don't even know what the fruit's going to really be. We don't really know what it's going to make of. We ain't going to know who we are, what we are as people. We're not going to have any boundaries or anything's going. Nothing's going to matter. What kind of a place is going to get in it? But I want to tell you, there are some instances in the Bible that will tell us where these places got. Because in the days of Noah, the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. The Lord looked down and couldn't find a thought. A thought, you mean a man never looked at a woman except for a bad reason? Sounds like it. You mean a man never looked at another man except for to maybe make a slave of him or to get something from him? Well, sounds like it. How did they get to such a place in their life? But it must be a horrible place to live. And wickedness reproves itself. And look around after a while and say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here where there's no order, no law,
None of that kind of thing. Sodom and Gomorrah, it was an awful thing of God ended up doing to it. But could you imagine living in a place like that? Could you imagine raising children in a place like that? Could you imagine a place that they only looked at them as objects? Is our world, are we going there? Would you go there? Would sin take you farther than you ever want to go? Could you possibly say, line upon line, little bit and little bit, inkling, just here, just notion here and there, that I could possibly get my place, myself to the place that I don't care what God says? Or I can get myself into the place that I don't care what the saints do. I don't care if I'm a part of it or not. I don't care any. You know, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Lord, help us. Taking care of my life day by day. Day by day, taking care of the things that come into my life with this great grace God gave us. You know, I believe the message last night, I was encouraged by that. Do you know we can be successful in 2014? Totally successful. We can be that generation of people that's going to shine out in this time. We're going to be different. We're going to be different. And one of the things that I thought about when I thought about being successful, I said, Lord, that cost me something. Honestly, it cost me. You know what it cost me? There was a time when I was refusing the ways of my friends. And I sure looked stupid doing it to them. I was shunned. I was laughed at. I was made fun of. But as I look back now, laughing's over, folks. The fruit started being born. The product's been born now. And those that laughed, many of those that laughed, some of those that laughed, took their own lives, destroyed everything around them, become addicts, alcoholics, ruined their bodies by smoke and drink and those things. Listen, there's no animosity on my part. Pity. But they don't laugh now. I've been in enough years now. The peer pressure is gone. All that's gone. It's no effect to me now. But I look back and say, it bore in itself out. And wickedness had its own reproof. It brought its own measure. Lord, help us tonight that we would be wise enough. And we'll speak a little bit about it. Because of the world's, I'm going to tell you, it just amazes me. I keep saying, where's wisdom? Is it still crying in the street? Where's wisdom? Wisdom, the best definition I like is wisdom is the ability to see the results of an action. That's simple wisdom. You know, a little slumber, a little sleep. What's that going to bring? Wisdom says. It's going to bring poverty. That's a simple term of wisdom. But wisdom's that way. The idea of wisdom is simply to be able to know what the result of an action is. I'd be wise to know what the results of my actions are. And I look around at the world, Edison, I keep saying, where's the wise man? Where's the one that's going to stand up and say, folks, listen, we can go down this road, but can I tell you where it's going to take us? We can go down this road, but anarchy's ahead. We can go down this road, but do you realize that there's going to be a lot of mental problems and things are going to happen because of this that we're not going to be able to cope with? You know, I keep looking into simple things of a wise man to be able to stand up and say, we can't do that. Because it's against the very nature of the way we're made. We can't do that. We're going to have problems with it if we do. Where is wisdom? Where's wisdom to be able to say to the people, our people in this country, in the world, to say you can't do that. Or you're going to have to pay hard for it. And all the time I'm looking and hearing the news reports and all that, I'm saying, where's wisdom? And we're going to say tonight, be wise. Be wise about your life. Be cautious about your life. Be careful about your life. Because you will. The scripture is plain. I'm going to read the scripture. We know it well, I think, but it's Galatians 6. It says in the 7th verse, be not deceived. Well, how can I be deceived? You can let people deceive you. You can let the time we live in deceive you. You can let yourself deceive you. You can let religions deceive you. But the scripture says, be not deceived. Don't let anything deceive you. Why? Be not deceived. Don't be deceived about this either. God is not mocked. He will not permit himself to be mocked. Listen, folks, he will not be mocked. He cannot be mocked. What he said is absolutely true. The way he made things is absolutely right. The way he made redemption for man is the only way for it. He won't be mocked in this. And he said positively, there is a rule that always works. You reap what you sow. Can't get away from it, folks. You can't outrun. You can't outwild. You can't be smart enough. If you sow something, there is a natural, and the Lord used his natural creation to show us. You not only gain, you not only get back what you sow, but you gain it in volume. You sow a seed, but you get an ear. There is a natural increase in everything you do. It is for righteousness and it's for wickedness. And it's all got increase to it. It is increased by the very fact that it is. Be not deceived tonight. You're going to have increase in your life. If you take on the bad things of this life, they're going to increase on you and they're going to swell up on you and there's nothing you can do about it but not sow it. You sow it? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, listen, God's not mocked. And God's not mocked about this world either. They're not going to mock him and get by with it. This world's sowing to the flesh. Hard. Hard to the flesh. And we see. We're seeing more and more. We're seeing what's becoming of it. We're getting so smart that we can do these incredible things like we heard last night. Now, I'm going to tell you, as somebody that's as illiterate about it as I am, I'm really amazed at some of it. I'm going along and my son-in-law says something to his truck. And he actually calls a name out and says, hey, would you call home for me? Look at his truck. His truck calls home. His wife, and my daughter answers the phone. He's driving down the road talking to each other. That's pretty good. That's smart. We're smart. We're getting smarter all the time. We know this communication. We know all this. Then why ain't we getting better? We're getting smarter. So when does euphoria come? When do we all just love one another? When do we quit killing one another? When do we quit abusing one another? When do we try to keep taking advantage of one another? When do we keep trying to be top dog all the time? When does that all happen? We're getting smarter, smarter and smarter. We're not getting wiser and wiser. It's getting the other way. Listen, folks, don't be deceived by this. God's not mocked by it, and God's not impressed with our intelligence. God's not impressed with this new age of technology. It's only ushering us quicker towards an end. Now, we can use it, and I think it's there for us to use. I think it's a golden time to use some of this thing to spread the gospel and use it, and it's there, and we ought to be wise into it. I'm going to tell you something else too. It's ushering us quicker and quicker to this time that the imaginations of the thoughts of our hearts are only evil continually. To get to a place that that's all there is. Lord, I'm warning us tonight. Don't go that way. Jesus got a good plan for your life. And you may right now, if you do it, and I'm going to say to young people, if you dare to do it, you may have friends that call, says, what happened to you? You go off and get religion. They did me. They did me. But can I tell you something? If the Lord tarries, you give that 25 years, and they won't be the same story. There'll be a whole different story to tell in a couple decades. Or less than that. Maybe a lot less than that. Because it's coming. It's coming as a wave. God's not mocked. He says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh, let's see. Hosea 8 and 7. Just want to mention that a minute. It says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Now you think of that passage of Scripture. They sow the wind. All just wanted to have a little fun. Little fun. I didn't aim to hurt anybody or hurt anything. I just wanted to do a little, see a little, experience a little. So I sow the wind. The Scripture says you reap the whirlwind. And then it talks about a stalk that won't bloom. Folks, that's what your life's going to end up being without the Lord. It's going to be a stalk that never blooms. But the passage says more than it says, and if it does, if there's some way in the human capability to muster something out of it, to strive, to get together, to help one another. You know, there's a lot of helpers in the world. I'll give them credit. People ain't all bad. You know, it's like out of the, it's trying to make something, the stock in blooming, so we're going to help them along. We're going to encourage them along and do that. It's like by the human effort, the Lord is saying, if you do, a stranger is going to come by. You'll never hold it. You can get encouraged by this world, and they're going to try to encourage you along, and things will happen, and maybe you can have a little something in your life again. You've been shipwrecked, you've gone down and out, been on drugs and all these things, and the world has a way of dealing with that. But the Scripture says, you're not going to bloom. But if you can, it's going to be robbed from you, because there's nothing to hold it. You reap the wind, or you sow the wind. You reap the whirlwind. It will come at you in much more than you'll ever see or understand. Lord, help us. I don't want that wickedness. And this is not the world I'm talking to here. So I'm warning the saints tonight. Embrace Christ. And allow Him to be the fixer of your problems. Embrace Christ. And then when those times come, fill your life with Christ. Give Christ your passion. Give Christ your hope. I know you can deny the pleasures of sin for a season, but there was more to that than that. He had a recompense. He understood. There was a recompense of reward. He understood that there's going to be a long haul to this, folks. There's going to be an enduring to this, and there's going to be a time that you're going to have to either be reproved by your own wickedness, or you're going to reap the benefits of a product in your life. You're going to be able to say, Lord, it's been good. It's been good. You've been faithful. You've helped me. You've helped me when I couldn't help myself. Lord, you stood by me. It looked like I'd be destroyed, but you stood by me. I'm sound of mind, thank the Lord. I haven't always been. I've been weak-minded in my life. I can say there's been times that I've been weak-minded, but the Lord helped me and got me back to a solid place. The Lord has helped me through my passions that I had to get in order. The Lord has helped me so much in my life. And I recommend to you tonight, the Lord, the plan of His salvation. Take it tonight. You'll have benefits you'll never ever dream of in the future. You'll have benefits, much, much benefits. And when it all comes, when this whole world's rocking and reeling, you're going to have benefits of hope and peace and security. You're going to be able to see what comes onto this world and just simply say, the Lord owns it. My God is still God through it all. And I don't have to be touched by that. Lord, help us. I want to read one more scripture. Brother Curtis read it last night. In the first chapter of Romans. It's quite a reading. 21st verse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And if you look around a little bit, you're going to see some real parallels to that scripture in our day and time we live in. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. How do you get there? God won't be mocked. You know, if God gives you up to vile affections, I'll ask you how you're going to change it. How are you not going to have vile affections? When God gives you up to vile affections. And if you believe a lie, then how are you going to know the truth? And if you turn the truth of God into a lie, then what hope's for us? There's only one Savior. Jesus already died on the cross. He can't come. He's not going to come and do it again. But our nation knows it. Our nation has been out of history. What are we going to do then? Once it's denied, we're going backwards in our nation. And we're chosen, as the brother said, we're chosen for our time to be a light to this world. How am I going to be able to do that? Use the product. It ain't much of a light being like them. I can grumble at my children. I can abuse my wife. I can do those things. That ain't impressive. That's what they do. I need grace to overcome the passions. I need grace to overcome those kind of things so that I can say to the world, here's your answer. Here's your answer. It works. It worked in my life. It's altered. It changes me. And it still does. It ain't a one-time shot for me. I'm going to tell you, I need it every day. I need the Lord to help me all the time. And it's available all the time. He turns them over to vile affections. It says, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Why not? You know why? Because men love darkness rather than light. And every time you hear an assault on God, I'm going to tell you, it goes back to the basic morality of men. They don't want moral rules and laws on their life.
But those aren't given there to bring us down. They're given there to elevate us up. We were created in the image of God. I'd love to tell the whole world this. We weren't created like animals. We don't have to follow brute passions. We're created in the image of God. We're to transcend this world. We're to be above this world. We don't have to be that way. We don't have to. We got a way, a product that is to lift us up above that kind of a life. We're to transcend. I'm embarrassed reading that. I'll be honest with you. It was hard for me to read that passage of Scripture. It's embarrassing. But it's Scripture. And it's put there to tell us and give us this extreme warning of our day and our time. Lord, help us. Because if we're not careful, we're just going to passively go through and whatever. But that's one step away from the acceptance. No. Listen, folks, I love everybody. I love people. I want to see them. I want to see them find God. But these activities are wrong. They're wrong, and they're going to be a great whirlwind one day. It's going to come by it. And Lord, help us that we're not caught up in that. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. A reprobate mind. A reprobate mind. I wonder, is there any reprobate minds around? You see the conduct of the world around us, and you can't help from saying, it's a reprobate mind. There is no sense of mercy. There's no sense of justice. There's no sense of love or charitable thoughts involved. How can a man, created in the image of God, get to a place so foul, so reprobated? He turns them over to a reprobate mind. That's where we're going. There is where wickedness will reprove. It will be in the minds and the hearts of men. They'll be vicious, self-centered, only gratifying themselves. This is the world. This is where it's headed. And Lord, help us of our time, because I think it's an urgent message. What I want to cry out to tonight, I don't think this message is just, you live for God, it's under God, maybe in some of the message, but this is a warning for those that's not, because you don't see where that ends tonight. If you're not living for the Lord, you don't know where the end of that's going. You can't know it. But the Lord has declared it in His Word. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. If you go down this way of denying the truth, denying the ways of the Lord, the end will be a reprobated mind. A heart hardened against it. Don't go that way, folks. Take my endorsement. Now, I'm not one of these famous people. They endorse all kinds of things. Toothpaste and soaps, and endorse all these things that people run out to buy that neither here nor there with me. But take this endorsement tonight. God has changed my life and made something out of it, and I'm so thankful, and you will be too. I am totally guarantee you, you will too. You'll be thankful you took this way. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignities, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, haters of God. Can you think haters of God? What does it mean to be a hater of God? Just a being out there that I hate? I hate the attributes of God. It's the only way you can make sense of it. You say, I love God. What do you mean? One of the things that fascinates me is the fact that in the Scriptures, Jesus didn't give him no description. You know, human minds, I think, would have. Honestly, I think you're going to talk about Jesus as a man. You would have said, well, how tall was he? What did he look like? You would want to know. I mean, we do. You say something, somebody says something to me about somebody, I don't know what he looked like. You don't know what Jesus looked like because the Lord didn't want you to hang up on that. He wanted you to hang up on what he is. I love Jesus for what he is. That's why I love Jesus for what he is. I love his faithfulness. I love his goodness. I love the character of Jesus. That one that's closer than a friend. The one that is there for us. The reason at the end. The one that was so compassionate. The one that told the woman, go and sin no more. Neither do I find any fault. I love that guy. That's the one. I love him. See, I know that's what I know about him. Do you know that's what they hate about him? Yes. Haters of God. And you say, I'll never be a hater of God. I was walking through, I was going up the hill one day, and I got my foot tangled up in something, and I fell down. And like I said, I get frustrated at stuff when it don't go right. And I was like, And the Lord spoke to me as plainly and said, why do you keep kicking against me? And I argued with the Lord. I said, Lord, I am not kicking against you. It's just that this stuff, I'm not speaking it out, but in my mind I'm running through this logical way of thinking about it. And I said, Lord, I'm not. It's this stuff that's happened to me. And all of a sudden I know that my thinking process is going silly to the Lord. I'm saying, oh, Lord, you're saying that was you. It's saying you allow these kind of things in life, right? And I shouldn't kick against you. You hate God? I remember Brother Tony saying years ago, he said, if you're murmuring about a situation, who are you murmuring at? He said, you're not murmuring at me, I don't control it. You're murmuring about your circumstance, who are you murmuring at? Do you hate God? You hate what he's doing? Lord, help us here. Don't hate God. That's a part of a product. It's a part of a product. And I say sometimes that product's a little abrasive on me. Sometimes it's a little cutting on me. But I'm going to recommend you that product tonight. Because it's designed particularly for you. I just wanted to read these because I want to give you a difference. This is those that did not take advantage of the product. This is the list. This is people that refused the salvation of the Lord. And this is what becomes of it. In the generations to come, folks, if the Lord tarries, you haven't seen anything yet of what can happen to people. And then there's the other side of it is what I'm telling you about. Choose life tonight. Choose the way of the Lord. Get out of it now. It may seem innocent enough now. I'll just sow the wind a little, but the whirlwind will come. And when it comes, you'll be thankful that you didn't sow the wind, that there's a safe place in the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.